Good morning, Southwest Florida, and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I have here today Dr. Katzen. And thank you, our engineer, Zane.
Good morning, everyone.
Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. It really was. The food was fantastic. The one day I can cheat. I love it.
Food always is fantastic.
And it's wonderful to be able to get together and thank our families, our community, and thank God for the wonderful life that we all have here. And it's so much fun to be able to learn. One of my passions, as you all may know, is I'm a bookworm, and I love to read. I love to read. And I want to just pass on the books, some of the books that I've read that I highly recommend. And I will tell you, I am also a history buff. So I just finished reading this book, which is so beautiful, so romantic. It's not a novel. It's called Paper Love. The woman that my grandfather left behind. And the author is Sarah Wildman. And I will have to tell you, it is so beautiful, so romantic, takes place in the 1930s. Talking about history, we went to a reception honoring Representative Vernon Peoples and a book that he's written, his second book, and he was a book signing and a reception.
It was a wonderful opportunity to see Vernon again and to have a review of what's gone on in Charlotte County. Most people who live here now weren't here when the county was small.
Yeah, and when you read, you hear about the history, and I found out my great-grandparents came from Spain, and then they went to Cuba, and his great-grandparents, too, were from Spain and went to Cuba.
Right. You never suspected if you saw Vernon.
And also the another love story of with his wife, Edna Jane, and it was actually put on by the foundation, Charlotte County Foundation. Right. And they he has been very generous in that he's going to be giving all his historical information, memorabilia, to the Historical Society.
Right. Vernon's hobby has always been the history of Charlotte County and this area.
So
he's got a lifetime of accumulation of documents, pictures, maps. It's very interesting.
We're looking to also to see if we can have him as a guest. Now, someone would say, well, you know, Dr. Triana, your show is about health. I said, yes. But, you know, one of the best ways to relax in life is to read and to de-stress that way. And history is one of my favorite. And I think it's very exciting that if we could have somebody who is actually a historian on the show, and that also would integrate that with our health.
Right. He's had a great opportunity to be of service to the health and development of the health facilities in the community. He was on the board of the hospital in Punta Gorda for many, many years before it was sold to the current owner, HMA.
So he has a lot of good historical information. So we're going to start the show off today with what body part am I? And, you know, our lines here are 206-1580. You give us a call. And if you have any questions, any health topics or what's currently trending, if you have a question about that, please call. I can tell you, if I don't know the answer, I'm definitely going to get the answer for you. That's one thing. So, but we have Dr. Katzen here today, who has a wealth of experience too. And what body part am I? I live on top of your kidneys. I am sensitive to your moods, and especially when you are in danger or in stress. I produce adrenaline and other hormones. What body part am I? So give us a call, and I know we have a lot of wonderful audience out there who listens and scratch their head and go, let me think about this. And call in, participate, 206-1580, and give us your take on that.
I think I may have a question about this particular body part that I want to throw at you after the...
After somebody guesses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So give us a call. And what body part is this? Am I? Well, I have a few things to talk about. Oh, actually, we have a lot to talk about today. Last night, we went to a lecture, conference, a talk on a new medication, which I think is really important that people understand all the new medicines that are coming down the pike to help people with diabetes. Now, Dr. Katzen, talk to us about this medicine.
Well, this medicine causes the kidneys to excrete sugar. So that normally what happens in the kidneys, blood comes into the kidneys, and all the liquid and dissolved elements in the blood are filtered into a extracellular space and then reabsorbed. In most people, about 95% of the sugar that's in your blood is excreted and then reabsorbed. This medicine blocks that reabsorption so that the excess sugar that you excrete is just comes out in your urine. Now, years ago, when we used to try and see how diabetics were doing, we would have them use a little color strip to see if they were excreting any sugar in their urine. And if they were, we knew that their blood sugar was above a certain level, because the ability of the kidney to reabsorb the sugar is limited to people who, let's say, about less than 180 milligrams percent. That's how we measure the sugar. But right now, this medicine, and there are several other varieties of drugs produced by different pharmaceutical houses, has a direct effect on the kidney's ability to reabsorb sugar, so that the diabetic who has trouble with an elevated blood sugar can get some help, because the sugar in their blood is now coming out in their urine. Now, there are some complications of that, especially in women, because all that sugar is coming out from your urethra, and that sort of lets people be a little bit more vulnerable to infection.
One of the things I'm sort of wondering as a layperson in the future, if this drug takes off, will it give license to diabetic patients to maybe indulge in more sugar than they normally would?
No, because the whole thing about diabetes, there's a multi-system problem in diabetes. It isn't just in the kidney. It's in the liver. It's in the pancreas. It's in the muscle. The muscle doesn't take up sugar the way it should. The liver maybe is producing too much sugar. The cells in the pancreas aren't understanding that they need to be producing either too much or too little insulin. And the kidneys also. So the whole idea, when we try to control diabetes and work with it, is we look at the diet, and we look at exercising, and we look at a blood test called the hemoglobin A1C, which is a 120-day snapshot of your blood sugar. Now, many people now, also we look at your blood sugar logs. Back in the day, people used to check their urine to see, and they would say, oh, your blood sugar is really high because you're spilling a lot into your urine. Well, now we do finger sticks and we check the blood, the sugar in the blood, and then we adjust accordingly how we treat the patient. So the important thing is, I guess you could say with any medicine, if you're diabetic, you said, I'm going to indulge. But the goal is not. The goal is to control the level of sugar and look at that A1C. What is that A1C? That 120-day snapshot. Because that glucose molecule attaches to the hemoglobin. So it gives us, I tell my patients, an average of what your blood sugar has been. So our goal is to get, if you're diabetic, is to have it around 6.5. Now, if you're not a diabetic and your A1C is above 5.6, then you're knocking on the door to become a diabetic, and you may have what we call prediabetes.
Right. Well, also, these medicines are not 100% efficient. In other words, they don't block all the sugar that's coming out. They just block a good portion of it. They will not block so much that you become hypoglycemic. Now, people who are diabetics and are on insulin, they know what hypoglycemia is because they get shaky and have to then take some sugar. But this will help to control the level of blood sugar.
So that's really important. Now, usually, again, there is no one magic pill or bullet out there that will cure diabetes. Again, as we said, there's a problem at different levels in your body, which is what makes it actually very interesting and fascinating that each medicine, because people will say, well, geez, do I have to take another pill? Well, because this condition called diabetes has different problems in different organs. So if we treat one organ problem, we can try to fix the other issues that are involved,
right,
that are not working correctly, like at the muscle level, the kidney, the liver, the pancreas, and of course, diet.
And the blood vessels.
And the blood vessels. So that's really, really important that we look at that. Now, these medicines, the trade name is Farxiga, Invokana. These are the ones that are working to excrete the sugar. Now, again, when you excrete sugar, you also, one of the side products is you lose weight. So if you lose some weight, we know that that also helps the whole picture with diabetes. Also, it will help lower the blood pressure.
Right. And weight loss is really an important part of treating diabetics because a lot of secondary diabetes is a result of excessive weight. And if the patient loses a significant amount of weight, their blood sugars will come in line, perhaps without any medicine.
So if we have any callers out there at 206-1580 about what body part, or if you have questions about diabetes, or if you want to just call and give your life experiences as being a diabetic or your concerns, there is a genetic component. We're going to talk about today a very interesting topic called nutrigenomics and about your body and your cells. But right now, we want to focus on the diabetes. And if you have any questions, please give us a call. Part of this whole metabolic issue of diabetes, we know that it's also a condition which is pro-inflammatory.
Right.
So you have inflammation in the blood vessels.
Well, remember also that somebody who is a diabetic has the same risk for a heart attack and stroke as somebody who has already had a heart attack. So their risk profile has increased dramatically because they are diabetic.
Now, I know that you've seen in the news the trending about FDA is changing our food labels, and I think it's very important, again, that you read and look at your food labels. You know, people are really surprised. If you start looking at your food labels, what are the ingredients? How much salt is in our food? How much sugar is in our food?
Right.
And
well, the people who manufacture food want you to buy more food, right? So they put elements, they have plenty of sugar and plenty of salt, both of which increase your appetite.
And spices, too, that make them taste good. And
right.
And fat.
And a bunch of ingredients that you can't even pronounce.
Right. Yes, the different preservatives. But I think the important thing is to learn. And as you had said one time, Dr. Katzen, so when you look at the label, you see the first ingredient. That is usually the most abundant
right.
ingredient.
Right. Pay attention to the first four ingredients, because the label on the back of a food product, the first ingredient is the one that is the greatest concentration, and the second ingredient next, and the third ingredient next, and the fourth ingredient. So if you just pay attention to the first four or five ingredients, then you'll it won't be that you'll have the whole story, but you'll have enough to be able to make a judgment whether you want to put that in your body.
And we've spoken about fiber and carbohydrates, and in speaking about diabetes, well, what is a carbohydrate? It is a chemical that turns into sugar. So your carbohydrates turn into sugar, and if you're a diabetic, that's your problem. You cannot metabolize sugar correctly because either you're, again, the different levels in the muscle, the abnormalities, your pancreas doesn't produce enough insulin, or the insulin you produce doesn't work. That key that opens up the cell. You know, again, on a daily basis, I have wonderful patients, but part of when you see your doctor is to be able to ask questions. And I listen to my patients and they tell me things like, well, geez, I didn't really know that there's like 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of Coke.
Right.
And
and the Diet Coke has no sugar, but it's got other things that are not very good for you, too.
Other chemicals. And it isn't just, you know, Coke. I'm talking about any sodas.
We shouldn't just pick on Coke.
No.
This old diet.
Sodas. Or juices. How many people are drinking orange juice and don't realize how much sugar or carbohydrates they're putting into their body? They will say, well, this is natural. Yes, it's natural, but if you're going to eat or juice, it's better to eat the fruit because then you get the fiber. So that's really important to understand that too.
Well, in addition to that, there are a lot of other things that if you eat the fruit, that there are trace elements that are important.
So what we're going to talk about in the second part of the show, and this is a very, very exciting concept. We're talking about food. Well, you know the story, you are what you eat.
Right.
Environment affects your body.
I always like to say you are what you ate.
You are what you ate. Yeah.
What you've already eaten, right.
What you've already eaten, right. You are what you ate. Well, you are what you eat, you're what you ate. And we know that environment affects our health and our cells. So we are made up of cells. And to get to the very important part, you would think that if we take good care of our cells, that will translate into good health.
You would think so.
And if we don't take good care of our bodies in general, well, that's going to translate into bad health. We know that one of the biggest problems in our society is childhood obesity and children gaining weight, adults being overweight or not moving, a sedentary lifestyle, the diet high in fat, the quote Western diet, high in fat, high in processed foods, not enough fiber, which we're supposed to have at least 25 grams of fiber in our diet a day. And all this predisposes to disease.
Inflammatory disease.
Yeah.
So historically, we pretty much conquered infectious disease. We don't have people dying of tuberculosis very much anymore. And most other infectious diseases, even HIV, is on the downhill slope. But what the diseases that are affecting our whole population now are all generally inflammatory diseases. And inflammatory diseases are intimately related with diet and the use of antioxidants, and Dr. Triana is going to talk a little bit more about that.
And I found, just from talking to people and using myself as an example, that eating well and especially exercise, it seems to me that most people are inclined to want to. I mean, it feels a lot better to lay in a bed or sit on the sofa than it does to go, let's go run or let's go do something. And most people think about exercise as a chore in a way. It's something we have to do to be healthy. If we could change that and make it so that, you know, healthy food, you know, tastes good. I guess after you start eating healthy, it starts to taste good when you don't have as much sugar and salt. And when you start exercising, it becomes a pleasure. It really does. I think the key is to get started.
Well, sure. And exercising to me is sort of almost a form of meditation. You're doing it on, you're in your own thing.
Because most people I know have a proclivity toward laziness. I mean, seriously, I'd rather just sit around on my day off than go out and play tennis or run or...
Right.
Well, we're all different, but we're going to go ahead and take our break, and then we're going to have a very, very interesting and exciting topic to talk about.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of this show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our phone numbers are 941-206-1580 and toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and Dr. Katzen.
So welcome back, everyone, and I have a little bug in my throat. Excuse me.
That's been going around. I've been doing that all day.
So I have a great announcement. This is going on my fourth year of having this radio show, which, as everyone knows, I work really hard to prepare for the show, bringing guests, and being part of the community. I'm very excited. I love doing the show. It brings me much pleasure. And my mission is really to share the knowledge, to have people understand more about our health, our bodies, what makes us feel good. So, in line with this, we have renamed the show.
I think it's an easier name, and no one's going to get tongue-tied with this name.
So it's very simple. It's the Dr. Triana Show. Can't be any simpler than that. The Dr. Triana Show.
What does everybody think about that?
Oh, that's cute. So if you're out there and about, and you see me, talk to me. Tell me, what do you think about the name? Give me a call, the Dr. Triana Show. And if you want to get on the show and talk, or if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, let us know. And we're going to repeat the What Body Part Am I on the Dr. Triana Show. I live on top of your kidneys. I am sensitive to your moods, and especially when you are in danger or stress. I produce adrenaline and other hormones. What body part am I? Now, come on, everybody. This is an easy one. And this is really, really important. So in my travels, and I go to many different conferences, I had the honor to meet a most incredible scientist. And I'm going to talk about this scientist. Her name is Christine Houghton. She's from Australia, and she has over 30 years of private practice clinician in nutritional medicine. She's a research biochemist who's investigating bioactive plant compounds. And hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, what's your name, caller?
I'm David.
Hi, David. You got a question or an answer to give us?
Yeah, your answer is the adrenal glands.
Wonderful, David. Thank you for calling.
No problem.
Okay,
thank you.
David. I hope you enjoy the show. We have another caller. Hello, caller. I guess they hung up. Well, if you have any questions, give us a call, 206-1580. Yes, it's the adrenal gland. And in the future, we're going to have a program talking about adrenal fatigue and how important the adrenal glands are in your body.
This was the question that I had to you. Someone said to me one time, I was very, very tired from working so much and from exercising a lot, and they said, you probably blew out your adrenal glands. Is there such a thing?
I'm not aware of such a thing.
Yeah.
But the adrenal glands are not very large, and they're probably, but they are very metabolically very active.
And they have pills at the natural food store that supposedly if you take them, they will rehabilitate those adrenal glands and eventually get them back to their healthy.
Yeah. Well, they produce the cortisone that we frequently prescribe for people with recent injuries, arthritis, and on a temporary basis, allergic reactions and what have you.
So the adrenal glands are very important, and we're going to talk more about them. But I want to go back to Christine Houghton, who, I met her at the Age Management Medicine Group conference in Las Vegas. Now, this was an incredible conference, and she comes all the way from Australia.
And you were a member of that group.
Yes, and I'm a member of that group. And her interest is focused on nutrigenomics. And we're going to talk about that. What is nutrigenomics? And she has a strategy for identifying a natural compounds capable of upregulating your genes, your cells, to promote antioxidants. So the whole idea is that she's trying to promote your cells to prevent disease. And the most powerful of these compounds is called sulforaphane. So sulforaphane is a very important ingredient that she's been researching and working on to help turn on your cells. So
that is the most active of the antioxidants. Well, what is an antioxidant? Why don't you tell us what that is?
Well, let's talk about first what is nutrigenomics. It is very important because it talks about the food that you eat switching on certain genes associated with cellular health. So let's look at your cells. That is the most important part of your body, the simplest part. You know, if you remember biology, the cells have different parts. They have the nucleus, they have the cell wall, they have mitochondria. What is mitochondria? They are the engines, that little, you know, engine that could, that produces the energy, that fires up the cell to do its work. So it is very important. Now, people would say, well, that seems pretty realistic that what you eat is going to affect your cells. Doesn't what you smoke affect your cells? Yes.
And what you drink.
And what you drink affects your cells. And what you take into your body. Are there not certain medications that affect your cells? Yes. Aren't there certain toxins that are in our environment that if we take too much affect ourselves? You know, people always said, you know, I want to take something that's natural. Well, natural can also be something that could be poisonous.
Sure.
I mean, how many people have fallen into poison ivy? Well, that's natural. I remember, I think I've talked about this. I had the worst case of poison ivy after Hurricane Charlie. And wow, that plant is natural. But did it create havoc on my skin?
Well, a lot of plants, there are plant poisons.
So,
like pyrethrins are a natural product that is used to control bugs.
So we know that nutrigenomics is very much entrenched in modern science, and it's the foundation of the science of nutrition. So we want to identify the powerful food-derived molecules that switch on our genes and are associated with cellular health. So we're getting down, as I say, to the nitty-gritty.
Well, you're really right there, are you?
Let's get down to the most basic part of our body, our cells. And we're looking at our genes because we know that our genes are the ones that control what color our eyes, what type of skin we have, what type of hair, and they control our health.
Right.
And I think that's really important to look at the basics and to understand the basics. Now, I want everyone to understand the basics because I know that each one of us has the power to help improve our health.
Right. And we can take some supplements that help, but the biggest help is internal.
So we know that these diseases of what are, quote, civilization, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, and arthritic conditions. While we know that many medicines have been produced and formulated and have really saved many people and we live longer, there's also a lot of medications that really all they do is take care of the symptom of the disease. They really don't go to what the cause of the disease. You know, when you read the book, Beat the Heart Attack Gene, it talks about the root cause. What is the root cause? What is causing that plaque to form in your artery? It's inflammation. What is causing your joints to fall apart? Not only is it wear and tear, inflammation.
Right.
Why is it that some people don't get sick and others go and get sick at the drop of a hat? Why is it? Because it's at the level of the cell. Why is it that some people will be susceptible to some diseases but others not?
Right. Well, we have this concept of free radicals. And free radicals cause this inflammation. We are all turned on now with antioxidants, but the main antioxidants that we produce produce many times more effective antioxidants on a natural basis in our cells than you can take from a supplement. You can't get enough antioxidant from a supplement to replace all the antioxidant activity that's produced naturally.
So the important thing is, what is health? We know that health, we want to be free of disease. We want to be able to enjoy our lives. We want to be able to have more good years, like we've said before. You know, so we can be around and enjoy our families, enjoy our hobbies, enjoy reading all those great books like the one I recommended. I have to tell you, another book that I enjoyed too was Killing Patton. That was really good.
It was very good.
He was an amazing person. Whether you liked him or not, he was an amazing person.
He's a great patriot and a great warrior, too.
So if you read...
Probably the last great warrior.
And he was in World War One, and he was the Mexican-American War. I mean, the book is very good. I love reading about history. So a lot of people will say, you know, I've been given this cards in my life, my genetic cards, my hand. I've been dealt this hand. There's really not much I can do about my genes. Oh, that is wrong. There is so much we can do with the genes that we are given. And this is a field called epigenomics, too. How environment affects our genes, how it changes the expression of our genes, how if we bombarded with toxins or not a good healthy lifestyle or sedentary lifestyle, how that is going to affect our genes. Now, I really think this is so important.
And some of the things that might affect our genes, we don't have much control over on the front end. For instance, we have a lot of phosphate mines just up the road, and it's part of the one element that's in those phosphate mines is radon, radium, and radon, and we got turned on a few years ago about measuring the amount of radon activity in the new homes that are built. Yet there are certain places in the United States where it's almost impossible to get away from the radon and the radium, like in the Denver area. Most of the old brick that was made, that created the downtown area of Denver, had a serious amount of radioactivity. And that's silent, that's sort of a silent killer.
So we know that the cells, they have a cell membrane. They have the mitochondria, like we said. They're the power station. They produce the energy. And the nucleus. It's in the nucleus where your DNA, your chromosomes are. And that's very important because that is the cell's database. That tells it what it's to do. Now, we know that cells have different also receptors. Receptors for hormones, there's different, like estrogen receptors. There are receptors too for insulin. We know that insulin, so the insulin goes and it tells the body, it goes, affects the cell, and tells the body what needs to be done with the sugar. So there, it's so complex, but yet so beautiful, but yet so simple when we look at and break down the different things we can do to improve upon our health and affect our genes.
Right.
So people think, you know, a gene, chromosome, the DNA is inside the chromosome. The gene are like templates inside the DNA. So for example, if you have gene A, it'll produce a protein A. Gene B might say, it gets turned on, it produces protein B. But if there's a mutation in that gene, for example, there's something that's wrong or there's a missing part of a base of the gene, then that gene will not produce the correct protein. And we know that there's a lot of illnesses and diseases that happens. So we know that there are 25,000 human genes. Wow.
Well, do you think that's a lot for a human?
But they have, well, I think this sounds like a lot to me. And it is really important. So, for example, as we said, insulin works like a switch. It goes, your body, the pancreatic cells sense that the sugar is elevated. The cells detect that, and they increase, and they turn on a switch on the insulin gene to the on position, and it produces insulin. And then therefore, the insulin then will work to take the sugar to go into the cell for energy. Right. I think that sounds pretty simple, but yet extremely important. So what is nutrigenomics? Well, it's saying that your cells can be turned on or not turned on or damaged by what you eat.
Right.
And if anyone has any questions, again, give us a call at 206-1580. Now, we know that our genes, that's called genomics or genomics, and nutrition, nutrients. So we call that nutrigenomics. So it's your food talking to your genes. Now, it isn't just the food. It's those chemicals in your food that kick on or not kick on your genes. And we know that's very important. We know that we can give healthy messages to our genes, or we can do poor choices and damage our genes. Now, we know that cigarette smoking is, unfortunately, a very poor choice because it causes stress on our genes.
Right. Cigarette smoke is a very complicated as a chemical. There are numerous toxic elements within a cigarette, depending on the brand and the way the cigarette was cured, the tobacco was cured, but it's just not the nicotine.
So one of the things is our cells can be very overwhelmed. Our cells are always working to heal us, to promote, to detoxify. So if we are bombarding our cells with many unfamiliar chemicals, the cells then can become easily burdened. So what we need to do is to try to find an ingredient in our food which will help to kick up or switch on the cell's ability to heal itself.
Right.
And that's very important. And that's one of the lessons learned from nutrigenomic science.
Well, that's been the life study for Dr. Houghton.
That's her life study, yes. And she has found that one of the most powerful molecules in our food is called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is an ingredient found, interesting, in broccoli sprouts.
Right. Now, broccoli is a political food. Do you remember?
No, that was Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I don't know.
I remember President Reagan didn't like broccoli very much, or was it President Bush?
Oh, it was Bush 1.
Bush 1, yeah.
He said, I don't eat broccoli. But this is...
No, I thought it was not broccoli. I thought it was Brussels sprouts. But maybe you're right. Maybe it is broccoli. By the way, yeah. I love Brussels sprouts.
I do too, and I hated them as a kid, but I love them now. I had seared Brussels sprout caramelized with caramelized onions the other night. It was great.
Oh, my gosh. I love Brussels sprouts. Yeah. And you know what I really love too? We've grown in our garden collard greens. Oh,
wonderful.
My gosh. They're so delicious.
And they have a flavor all their own. They're just wonderful. I like to put a little bit of that hot sauce on it, the hot vinegar or whatever.
Yeah. Well, especially the fresh stuff when you get right out of the garden, it tastes completely different than what you buy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I mean, I want to open up the conversation if anyone wants to give us a call. How fascinating the way the basic molecules in our food, not only do they give us nutrition and help our cells to repair, but also those bad things that we eat can also damage our cells and affect our ability to heal, which affects ultimately our aging process. Because basically aging has to do with our body cannot heal.
Right, and deterioration from continuous abuse.
And so if our cells are not able to heal and our genes are being damaged, which we've talked about the telomeres, which is the cap on the DNA. But if we look at this and we say, wow, it really does go back down to basics.
Right.
And that's what's so important.
One of the interesting things that she did at the meeting, when she was giving her lecture, she looked at a whole bunch of different foods, and which of these foods or which of these foods had the greatest amount of antioxidants. And it turned out that this broccoli sprouts, and it's not the mature broccoli, it's young broccoli, had the greatest concentration of antioxidants, greater than kale, greater than romaine lettuce, greater than bib lettuce. One of the things
greater than green tea,
right?
Pomegranates,
So, wow. That was of all the food elements that she tested. This broccoli had the highest concentration of antioxidants.
One question that comes to mind is when you talk about foods that have a lot of antioxidants. Are we referring to the food in its natural raw state, or do the nutrients disappear if you cook them?
Well, if you can heat them up enough, the nutrients will disappear. That's why it's important to have things cooked just a little bit.
A little bit.
You can steam things, or just warm them up, or even raw.
Well, actually, the broccoli sprouts that she has formulated, a supplement that she has formulated, is actually not cooked. And it isn't just the fact that it has the sulforaphane, but it has an enzyme in it that can be used to break down, to produce the sulforaphane. So if you heat it up, you do lose that help, that antioxidant effect.
Right.
And what I would like to do is really explain what is an antioxidant. Because you hear this everywhere, you know, eat blueberries, they have antioxidants. Eat pomegranate, they have antioxidants. Well, what is an antioxidant? What does that mean?
I picture these little soldiers that are going into battle against whatever.
Well, you know, actually, we have to first look at what is a free radical. Well, to understand an antioxidant, you have to know what is a free radical, because it's the antioxidant that's going to fight the free radical. Well, free radicals are molecules or atoms that are not balanced, and they are the ones that attack other molecules. So they cause a chain reaction. They do this by removing electrons. Now we're getting down to the basics of science. Atoms, electrons. So if you unbalance these molecules over and over, making a chain reaction, you start getting what is called a free radical. And it's that free radical that damages the cell when it comes in contact. So what are we trying to do? Like you're saying, we're trying to neutralize these free radicals in our bodies. So we're looking at the basic science. The basic, we're getting down again to the nitty gritty. So if your cells are constantly trying to fight these free radical, that's where the antioxidants come into play. So antioxidants are trying to neutralize and stop that chain reaction. And that chain reaction ultimately is what's going to damage the cells.
That starts the inflammatory process in the blood vessels and the joints and whatever.
So if you have the appropriate antioxidant reserves, then that is the cornerstone of cellular defense. And it is one of the most important things that we're trying to promote. If we can promote your cells to be healthier, then we are trying to promote more good years, better health, decrease inflammation, and decrease disease. So if you have a free radical and you take vitamin C, which is an antioxidant, you're only quenching one free radical to one vitamin C. So you inactivate, but then you also, what we call, you oxidize that vitamin C. So we know that your cell actually produces antioxidants, and they are a million times more powerful than their effect than any foods or supplements. So what we need to try to do is stimulate the cell to fight, like you said, those soldiers to fight those free radicals. So we know that you do have antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E, beta carotene, but you couldn't take enough of it in order to what the cell's powerful antioxidants. And that's one of the most important things we need to take away. Now, Dr. Houghton wrote a really great book. It's called Switched On, Harnessing the Power of Nutrigenomics to Optimize Your Health. Now, we know that there is no supplement, no matter how good your diet is, if you smoke or if you don't exercise. Again, the cornerstone of good health is diet and exercise. And we're going to be speaking more about this and the effect of genes and how they get turned on so everyone understands this concept of free radicals and antioxidants and how this oxidative stress, which is the activity of the free radical, how it affects your cells and how it causes disease. We really are getting down to the nitty-gritty, the basic science. And you know, this is so exciting that we here at the Dr. Triana Show are going to have more and more great information and great speakers and great guests to help each one of you who's listening to the show. And you know, don't forget, tell your friends. Say, hey, I'm listening to a great show. You should listen to it too.
Right. Well, we're going to have Dr. Houghton on too.
Yes.
She's agreed to come be a guest for us.
So we have had incredible guests talking about their life passions. And you all know out there that my passion is to help you to learn and to understand about your health, your body. And hey, I'm here with you. I'm here in the trenches too. I know it's tough out there. We're constantly bombarded with wonderful things to eat and wonderful things that we want to do. And by the way, my orchids are doing great. I just love that. And I always get so excited when I see, oh, another beautiful flower. So everyone out there, turn on to the Dr. Triana Show. Listen in and tell your family and friends. And you know, this program could change your life and save your life.
Right.
God bless and stay healthy.